son heard music and saw dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. The slave replied, saying, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then the elder son became angry. He refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father by saying, "Listen, listen. For all these years, I've been working like a slave for you, and I never disobeyed your commandments. Yet you never have given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed that fatted calf for him." Then the father said to the elder son, "Son, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate. We had to rejoice. Because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." Indeed, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Well, one of the most precious times in the life of a Christian is when they get to be there with someone who is dying. And I know when I'm in those moments, I try to take time to ask the person some deeper questions, because I figure this is a really sacred window of time, and they may have things that they want to share from their heart. And I remember a conversation I had with a woman who was lying in her bed in the hospice house. And so I asked her, "Do you have any fears about anything?" And she said, "I don't think so." I asked, "What do you want to have happen when your life on this earth is over?" And she said, "I can't think of anything special." But the question that really stood out to me was when I asked her, "What's the first thing you want to do when you get to heaven?" You want to know what her answer was? It wasn't finally hug my mom decades after her death. It wasn't kneel before Jesus and thank him for rescuing me. No, this is what she said: "Scream at the father of my children for abandoning them." She had lived with an anger and an unforgiveness for so long that when she was on her deathbed, imagining the heavenly paradise she was about to enter, all she could look forward to was yelling at the man she'd married. And this is why we are talking about forgiveness for our sermon series this month, because this is a real struggle. It's something we all have to deal with, whether the hurt is big or it's a small slight. We're in this sermon series on forgiveness with the hope that God will soften our hearts, that God would open us up to the new thing God is doing. And so we turn now to that hard-hearted man, the one who hasn't yet opened up to what God is doing. We turn now to the story of the older brother in Luke 15. He can't forgive his younger brother for what he's done. This younger brother, this prodigal son, has insulted their father. He's demanded his inheritance even before the father has died. And then he's gone off to a distant land and wasted all the money that their father has spent years earning and saving. And only when he got so desperate and so hungry, only then did he come crawling back to his family. Meanwhile, the older brother has been working the fields, helping his father, saving his money. He has kept to the narrow way. So when their father welcomes back this younger brother with open arms, the older brother loses it. "Listen," he says, "for all these years I have worked like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your command. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes? You killed the fatted calf for him. Now that right there is interesting. The older brother says that the younger brother has spent all his money on prostitutes. How does he know that? All we are told is that he squandered his property in dissolute living. But dissolute living could mean anything. He could have been drinking to get drunk, experimenting with drugs. He could have been gambling, maybe cheating people out of their money. He could have been buying things he didn't need, showing off, loving self, anything. But there's no mention of prostitutes. So what gives? Why does the older brother make that assumption? Could it be because he himself would love to squander property on some prostitutes? But seriously, how often do we judge people for things because we secretly envy them? Or worse still, how often do we refuse to give someone for something we ourselves have done? I think that older brother just had to mention those prostitutes because there was lust inside him, roiling and boiling inside him. And that lust was so powerful that he had to project it onto someone else. He couldn't look at it straight on. He couldn't admit that he has the same urges as anyone. He couldn't face the fact that all the while he was working like a slave and never disobeying a command, inwardly, he was as broken as the rest of us. So when I look back on that woman who was lying in her bed at the hospice house, that woman who could only think of her ex-husband's sins, a part of me wonders if there was something from her past that she regretted about how she was toward her family. Maybe she never abandoned her children, but could she have neglected them in smaller ways? Could she have turned from them in tiny ways? So that maybe she never severed a whole relationship, but what she did do was like 1,000 paper cuts. I wonder. But for her, it was easier for her to point the finger at the man who, don't get me wrong, definitely sinned, but it was easier for her to hold that lack of forgiveness against him rather than look within. In the story of the prodigal son, I don't think the issue was that the older brother couldn't forgive his younger brother, or I don't think that was the only issue. I think really, he couldn't forgive himself. When we can't forgive others for not being perfect, it's because we can't forgive ourselves for not being perfect. I mean, this older brother sure had tried. He never strayed from home. He never left those fields, but he couldn't be perfect. No one can. And in order for him to truly be free, he needed to find a way to forgive himself for his own sins. But that's impossible to do until we are first willing to face them. So my question for all of us this morning is, that thing you can't forgive someone for, that thing that's been hurting you or angering you, what if we stopped and asked whether that same fault that lies within them lies within us? What if we stopped to ask if the lust we saw in them is the lust that lies in us? Now, I don't have to ask myself these tough questions. I'm sure I'm above reproach. But no, I do wonder what the Holy Spirit would reveal if we dared ask such a vulnerable question. I can't forgive her for how she mistreated her children. Where have I mistreated my children? I can't forgive him for hurting my feelings. Where have I hurt his feelings or anyone's feelings? These are deep questions to ask, I realize that. But we do not ask them alone. We can ask them in the presence of trusted brothers and sisters in Christ who will actually tell us the truth, who will do us the favor of telling us the truth. Because remember, we don't follow one who claimed to be the way, the flattery, and the life. We don't follow one who claimed to be the way, the protector of feelings, and the life. No, we worship the way, the truth, and the life. So we can look at the truth of our own sins. We can ask others to speak into our lives. We can have them tell us what we need to let go. And that's good news. We no longer have to be afraid of the truth. We don't have to hide. Best of all, Jesus himself holds us in these questions. There is nothing you could confess to him that would faze him. It's like when I go to see my counselor, I tell her the craziest thoughts I've been harboring. I mean, she could say, okay, you're weird. But instead, she just says, you're not alone. She listens without judgment. Jesus is like that times infinity. There is nothing he hasn't seen. There is no crazy too crazy for him. He will still touch you. I promise you. He will touch you and draw near to you. I wish that older brother in today's story would have realized that his brokenness was forgivable. Whatever he was hiding within him, whatever made him lash out at his younger brother, he didn't have to hide. So if any of us find ourselves in his shoes this morning, struggling with self-forgiveness, I simply want to say, you're not alone. Bring it to someone you trust, and bring it to Jesus, the one who can handle the truth and loves us right through. Will you pray with me? We thank you, Lord, for showing us that there is nothing we could do that would separate us from your love. You're always drawing people towards yourself, right in the midst of our worst sins. And for this, we can only say thank you. Lord, give us the strength today to face whatever sins we are hiding within us, whatever we haven't yet forgiven ourselves for or haven't yet asked forgiveness for. Holy Spirit, shine your light on all the corners of our lives until we are completely free, completely cleansed, ready to say yes to that new thing you are doing. Amen.